Good day, I'm Jackie Judd with Health on the Hill. Congressional wrangling over Medicaid funding and help for the unemployed continues, and the federal government faces a July 1st deadline to implement certain provisions of health care reform. To discuss this and more, as always, Mary Agnes Carey, senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News, and Sarah Cliff from Politico. Welcome to you, Sarah, as well. Mary Agnes, begin where the Senate left things with Medicaid funding, additional Medicaid funding for the states at the end of last week. And where does it go?
Well, Max Baucus, who's head of the Finance Committee, had introduced a different package, a scaled-back package on Medicaid. It took about $8 billion out of it to get it down to about $15 billion, but they still can't get consensus in the Senate to move it. They pulled out the Medicare doc fix separately, of course, and passed that a while ago, but on the Medicaid money, it's still not been passed. There's still pressure from governors that are complaining. We've got budgets to begin July the 1st. We need this money, or we're going to have to make cuts in other places. But Senator Reid, as Harry Reid, the majority leader, has pulled the bill back now because they just could not get it through.
And Sarah, you've been talking to political leaders at the state level. As Mary Agnes suggested, some of the governors are up in arms. What are they saying to you?
They really care about this money. This is, you know, when we've spoken with governors, this is almost priority number one. It's a bipartisan priority. You have letters from about 47 governors signed saying, extend this money. We need this funds. As Mary Agnes said, they're relying on these to keep the Medicaid programs running. Over at Politico, we talked to Jennifer Granholm in Michigan last week. And I mean, this is a state high unemployment rate, really has been dealt a pretty difficult hand by the recession. And she's been talking about some kind of possible lobbying trip to D.C., having a bunch of governors come down here to say, you know, this money is something that's a big priority. This is something that really matters to us. So you can expect to see them talking a lot about this and not letting up pressure on Congress.
And many of the states have already incorporated these expected funds into the coming year's budget. So what are they saying will be the consequences if the dollars don't come?
Right. They're saying scaled back Medicaid benefits. These are, you know, states that are dealing with really high unemployment rates. More people want to be on Medicaid, and this is what FMAP was supposed to do, kind of be a temporary relief for states as they were expanding their Medicaid rolls. And now they're saying, you know, we're going to have to drop, you know, talking in the hundreds of thousands of folks who are on Medicaid right now if they don't get this extension.
There's also not been movement in the Senate on additional help for the unemployed, especially help for those who are on COBRA. Is that now a dead issue, or will Harry Reid try to bring that back too?
Well, Sherrod Brown is one of the proponents of this additional funding to help folks buy this health insurance, is known as COBRA, to give the subsidies. Says he's going to push, continue to push, to get it passed. Of course, they cut it back to a six-month package of aid for those folks who became unemployed and needed COBRA assistance as of June the 1st. But I think it's getting tougher and tougher. We're talking about all the pressure and the difficulty of passing additional Medicaid funding, which has many Republican and Democratic governors pushing for it. I think the window may be narrowing for this additional COBRA money. We'll see how it plays out, but it's a pretty tough lift.
And describe the opposition. What is the opposition saying about the problems with this measure?
I think it's part of the bigger issue about spending. And are we spending too much? Is the deficit too big? Do you really need to do this? It's part of that the divide between the Democrats and the Republicans. Many Democrats argue this additional spending is needed. Now, some, the fiscal conservatives in the House, for example, the Blue Dogs, would say, wait a minute, and they have voiced some opposition to this. But it's really that struggle over how much do you go further into deficit spending? Will this really help? Is it time, after we've provided, with the stimulus that passed last year, there was additional COBRA funding for 15 months, is it time to stop this now? I think that's really where the debate is.
Overnight, an institution within the institution of the Senate, Senator Robert Byrd of West Virginia, passed away after decades in the Senate. Does his death change at all the political equilibrium on the Hill in the Senate?
Well, since West Virginia has a Democratic governor, that's probably a Democrat will be appointed to his spot. Of course, Senator Byrd will deeply be missed. He was just such a leader in the Senate, and people revered him. He was a scholar of the Constitution, of Senate rules. He used to give wonderful, wonderful speeches on the floor that many reporters, when we'd be in the Senate gallery, you would go out, You might have been filing, but you take a break to listen to Senator Byrd because you always learn something. Folks will miss him, but I don't think it changes the political dynamic of the chamber.
Okay. July 4th, Sarah, the Department of Health and Human Services is under deadline to, one, create a new website for consumers to look at insurance plans, and two, to create high-risk pools. Why don't you talk to us for a moment or two about those high-risk pools?
Right. Yeah, HHS is a very, very busy week this week.
24/7.
24/7 over at their headquarters. They are launching a federal high-risk pool, which part of a new health care reform law says that there's going to be this pool prior to when the exchanges start in 2014, where those who have been uninsured for at least 6 months can get insurance.
And those who have chronic conditions or serious medical problems.
Right, right. So those with pre-existing who have suffered from uninsurance. So right now, the situation they're in, you have about 20 states who have said, we're not going to run this. We're going to leave this to the federal government. And HHS is going to launch that federal pool on Thursday, July 1st. They've said applications should be available and ready then. And then you have about 30 states who are going to run their own high-risk pools, either through the government, contracting with a nonprofit. And those states are kind of just in the final stages right now of hammering out those contracts. Talking to folks at HHS recently, it's a real back and forth, tweaking these, just hoping to get all of these signed. And they have a lot on their plates. They're dealing with 30 separate state governments. And, you know, for each one, there's a few different things on these contracts. And but it sounds like they're making steady progress. They're in constant contact with these states. And, you know, aside from maybe a handful who are a little bit behind on schedule, most states are going to have these programs, you know, established in some form.
So when can consumers actually begin to enroll and then get coverage?
So if you're in one of the 20 states that is doing the federal pool, that's not running their own, they've said applications should be available on July 1st. And they'll actually be linked to through that new website you just mentioned, healthcare.gov, that you should be able to get there through that web portal to sign up. For the 30 states that are running their own pools, it's a little bit different. They're all on their own schedule. Some are aiming to have applications out as soon as this week. Others are saying it's going to be longer. It might not be in some states till August or September as they're, you know, sorting out the kind of internal things that need to happen in order to set up their pools. So it's a bit of a range, but
it's a significant test for the reform law, how it will work, how the federal government turns things around fairly quickly. The bill was just signed into law in late March.
Just signed in March. You know, all the health policy people we've been talking to say this is, you know, nearly impossible deadlines that they're working on, especially, you know, those in Massachusetts who have done this have really marveled at the speed at which HHS has moved. And, you know, with this, both this web portal and this high risk pool, these are two very consumer friendly provisions. These are going to be very tangible links to the health reform law for a lot of folks. So you're right.
That some politicians hope they can tout for their November elections.
Right. So when they go home this summer, they're going to want to talk about this portal. They're going to want to talk about the people getting insurance through the high-risk pools. So it really is important that, you know, HHS get this right, make it easy to access, easy for people to understand. And so far, they seem to be on a pretty good track.
Mary Agnes, tell us more about the website healthcare.gov. What's it intended to do in the immediate sense? And then as the months go on, what other kind of information will be included?
For this web portal, initially, it'll kind of look like, as of July the 1st, sort of a yellow pages listing of health insurance plans. Now, come October, they want to have more about cost and benefits. But the real wrangling here, and again, this is another one of those windows into implementation of health reform, is going to be what will be on this web portal. Will you talk about data that, for example, the percent of claims that have been denied or the percent of claims denials that have been appealed? Consumer groups say you've got to have this. It's critical. Insurers are pushing back and say, no, wait a minute, that might be confusing to consumers. But as you see the implementation of whether it's the web portal for this or the high-risk pool that we're talking about, all these steps along the way, you can expect a vigorous fight by all the interested parties to shape it, to make it look the best for them.
And what are the firm deadlines as we move out? July 1st, of course, is when it goes live. And then in the fall, incrementally does the additional information get posted?
I think they're aiming for early October for that. But I think that as we're seeing, we're talking about, for example, the high-risk pool. That was supposed to be 90 days after the bill's enactment. Well, there is, again, what they pass in the law, and then the reality, the mechanics, like you're talking
right.
about, working with all these different states, the federal government trying to set up contracts in states where the states don't want a high-risk pool. Mm-hmm. There may be some movement with that, but they're trying to stay as close to these deadlines as they can.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you both, Sarah Cliff of Politico and Mary Agnes Carey of Kaiser Health News. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jackie Judd, and this has been Health on the Hill.